Welcome to the Saturday set on what is the eve of the greatest sporting weekend of the year, Kingzone. You've got to be excited.
I'm very excited.
Fizz?
Very, very.
Yeah, excited. I'm looking at the lineup for this weekend, what's on, and it's very exciting, yeah.
Yeah, bit of money to be made, eh?
There's a heap of money to be made. There's a heap. I just saw the menu for the sport on the weekend. AFL Grand Final, NRL semis, NRL semis. We got Bledisloe Cup. What else we got?
Okay, so Friday night, of course, we start with Manikato Stakes night. We're going to unpack that. We're going to unpack two feature races from that in a second. Then, of course, we've got the semi final, the qualifying final for the Grand Final. Storm versus Sharks. How good will Friday night be? Then we roll into Saturday. We've got Golden Rose Day starting from Rose Hill at 11:50 or 5 a.m. Also got a meeting at Sandown. Got the Sandown Stakes. The AFL Grand Final, which most of the population will be watching. We've also got rugby test, Wallabies versus All Blacks. I thought we'd better throw that in. They're always great.
I'm contests. Betting on everything up there. I'm betting
everything.
On.
And then on Sunday, after we've filled up on Saturday, we've got a blockbuster qualifying final. Some people are calling it the biggest qualifying final in NRL history. The Brisbane Broncos versus the Penrith Panthers. I don't want to know what your tips. We will talk about them later
Can't
on.
Can't wait. Are we going through them?
We'll go through them at the end.
Beauty. Yeah. Beauty. It's all a big culmination for me on Sunday.
It's going to be huge. So it's a brilliant weekend. What a privilege it is for all of us to sit back and watch it all. Let's get into the racing part of it. We're going to start with two feature races from Moonee Valley. And we're going to start with the Manikato Stakes for 2025. Why don't we watch the Moya? So the Moya is the main lead up, I would say, for this race. Of course, it's a 1,000-metre weight for age. Barraquil dives through the pack and wins. I guess why I wanted to play this is, one, of course, we can line up the form of a lot of horses in the race, but potentially Lady Shenandoah might find herself in a similar position to Barraquil. And she's got the sprint to be able to do what Barraquil does here and, you know, savages the line and wins. That's Alabama Lass going to run second. You've got Arabian Summer on the fence for third. Let's bring the market up and I'll hand over to you. What have you make it all of it all, of course?
It's a really interesting race. And I find it so interesting because of the favourite, Lady Shenandoah. We saw what she did first up over 1,000 metres where she was ultra impressive, got out, probably should have won. What is extremely interesting to me about this race is the map and the barrier and Lady Shenandoah and the trainer, Chris Waller. It's because I've sat in this chair and said it so many times, when he draws wide, he goes back. So Jolly Star last week, what a great win. We saw Jolly Star sort of sit midfield, but did sit wide, had to do a lot, did a lot and won. Lady Shenandoah, this is in her grand final. Her grand final's the Everest.
Sure.
What's James going to do? What's James going to be told to do?
But he can't go back. Surely he's got to sit in the Fizz. Surely he's got to sit in the first three or four.
No, I didn't think he'd sit in the first three or four. I thought he'd sit behind the.
But
front.
Isn't it too dangerous at the Valley? Like,
no, I think he's going to have to go and try and get a spot midfield. I don't think he's going to try and hunt it out at all. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, too much.
And what
speed
if he
involved.
Can't? I think he'll go back. If he sort of can't get in, I think he'll go back rather than pressing forward and trying to get in.
I was thinking. He's just got to try and squeeze in midfield, and if he's lucky enough, he'll get two off the fence. If not, he may find a back to follow three wide. That's what I thought might happen.
Okay.
See what happens.
So to me, taking the short odds, I think she's the best horse in the race, but at $2.40, I think she's under the odds, surprisingly, and it's only because of that two reasons, the barrier and also the fact that this isn't her grand final and they might not want to knock her about too much.
Sure.
So where does that leave us? Magic Time is also a horse that is it the market mover there? Well, yeah. It's a horse that I'm against as well. Highest rating of 99. So Lady Shenandoah did 102 first up, and I think she's got more improvement. Highest rating ever for Magic Time's 99. 95 last start winning the Cochrane. Barrier one.
Yes.
Midfield and first run at the Valley. So I'm against Magic Time there. Barraquil, what a Moonee Valley horse Barraquil is. What a win.
Yes.
Four from four at the Valley. 103 is the highest rating for Barraquil, but sits closer. A lot of my data, and I was wrong last time, is against Barraquil, and it's the same. A lot of the factors I put in are against Barraquil for some reason. What do you think of Barraquil, Fitz?
Well, yeah, I tipped it, I think, last start. You've been against it quite a few times. I think Barraquil loves the Valley. It's a very, very good racehorse. And look, could be right in the firing line to win this race again, I think. Mm-hmm. I do like Lady Shenandoah, but like you, $2.40 is no massive...
No spoil. Yeah.
Spoil for us punters who are keen to be on it. And I looked at that race that they all pretty much came out of. Rothfire was luckless. I'm a little bit with you. Magic Time, King's up the inside, probably pocketed away. Don't know where it'll get to. come sort of the 200 metre mark. So I don't really want to be on magic time. Skybird, luckless in that race. I thought Alabama Lass run out of puff in the 1,000 metres. Don't really want to be at it, on it in 1,200 metres around the valley. So it leaves me backing Lady Shenandoah if I get the right price.
Yep.
But, yeah, Barrackhill's the danger.
If it looks leaderish on the night, would that mean that Lady Shenandoah might get out in the market?
Oh, she'll get out 100%. She'll be around the $3 plus mark, I think. If it becomes that Mooney Valley Diamond Leaders track, there's no way in the world they're going to be in the top four, I don't
think. Well, that's the other thing. If the track's very on fence, on pace, she starts
much
closer to $3.
Yeah.
Skybird was a great run as well.
Another one that gets
unlucky.
Back.
I was on the fence, Skybird's a horse that's always sort of needs that luck, though.
Yeah, well, one down the straight, right, when it got a split down the straight, and there's not the room that there is down the Flemington straight than there is at Mooney Valley. So, it's hard.
I'm betting in this race, and I haven't talked about the horse that I'm backing yet, but I'm going to back Alabama Lass.
Okay.
Number nine. So, this horse came over from New Zealand, as we know, won over 1,400. A group two and 1,400 and ran second in a group one guineas over 1,600. So while it might have looked there that ran out of puff over 1,000 metres, probably 1,000 metres wasn't suitable for Alabama Lass. And I think Alabama goes straight to the front here. There isn't as much pace in this race nearly as there was in the Moya. So I think that Craig Williams goes straight to the front here and could be hard to run down. I think 750 is a great price about Alabama Lass, and I'm definitely going to be on. Not an official tip, but I'm definitely going to be on. And I like the race because there's reasons to dislike a couple in the market. Not a max bet or anything for me, but I think 750 is a good price.
A little bit of Everest talk because this is one of the lead ups to the Everest. So Private Harry been a big talking point all week. They took Ash Morgan off on the Sunday. Seems like it was a bit of a knee jerk reaction. What do you think, Fizz? Do you think it was...
I didn't even know they took him off. That's a bit harsh.
I don't
think he did anything wrong.
Yeah, it's been a big talking point all week. So after the race, on the Sunday, the Corinda Bloodstock, or the older owners, just let Ash Morgan know that he's off, hooked him, yeah.
But who have they given the ride to?
He didn't do anything wrong though, did he?
Did nothing wrong. The only thing...
Private Harry just flopped.
I mean, that's the general consensus. And I think that if the Corinda Bloodstock had the time over again, they probably... At the least, they shouldn't have made the decision so quickly. Like, it seemed they woke up the next day and wanted to blame anything for the horse. Basically failing.
He just didn't handle the pressure first up.
That's it.
Doesn't mean he won't second up.
I think
get used to it. Two horses get stronger and it's obviously a big, he's a very talented horse. You wouldn't sack him off that one run.
Mm. Well, I think a lot, general consensus is he's not up to that elite level. Because he's won a group one. It was a handicap though. So it was interesting... Interesting, but then you got another Yulong horse. I don't know if you saw Angel Capital got locked in for the Everest last night.
Okay.
James Harron's syndicate's taken it. What do you think about Angel Capital? So I presume it'll probably go straight into the Everest now.
James Waller will have a hand in the Everest.
Yeah, he's going to have probably four runners.
Angel Capital was a good thing beat probably last week.
Over 1,400 though, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm sure Waller will be able to freshen it up and get it ready for the Everest. But
so you think you think it's a good chance in Everest, Angel Capital?
I think, it's a top liner. Angel Capital has proved itself, so
Geez, Briasa was a good run. I think Briasa can win the Everest.
But, I mean, if anyone deserved to lose their ride, you could argue J-Mac did on Jolly Star. I mean, he was wide. He didn't get any luck.
He won. You're going to sack him and he won.
But it's just ironic that, if you go
but
back...
But that was always the case. He's always going to go back and get
wide. What my point is, if you go back and look at the runs, J-Mac rode his four wide and won. Ash Morgan actually gets Private Harry in a really nice position. And when he went for it, there was just nothing there.
No, exactly.
It's a weird sacking of a jockey, though.
Yeah.
I thought he gave Private Harry every possible.
Yeah. Every possible. And Marzu was out in front putting the pace on, and then it was perfect, but it didn't work out. I got another question for you. So I was looking at the ratings on Monday, which I always like to do, see how the ratings.
Your ratings man now.
Love ratings. And I saw that Sedilius didn't rate particularly well when it won the Underwood.
I haven't looked. Yeah.
So, Dano said that it was more that Buckaroo slowed down faster than Sedilius did, because you remember you sort of see that kickback. Anyway.
So the race didn't rate well.
The race didn't rate well.
Sedilius didn't rate well. None of the horses rated.
Yeah, but so my question is hypothetical. So Sedilius, and this is just a good test case for what I'm thinking. So Sedilius didn't rate all the the ratings gurus have said it didn't rate very well. Mm. Can you try and use that as a benefit to yourself, put in your black book and say ratings weren't strong, and the next time Sedilius comes out and say they put him up at $2.50 or whatever it's going to be, what's he running in next? Maybe the Might and Power, I think he runs in next. And he put him up at 250. Can you have a bit of confidence that he will probably get out in the market because the ratings gurus, who have a huge influence on the market, didn't think it was that good a run, so he's more likely – because they kind of – you know, those –
It's an interesting – it's a really interesting question because ratings determine early markets a lot. So would he get out in the market because of the ratings? Not necessarily.
You just bet up because it's immoral.
Yeah, well, and you have to – so the ratings are sometimes right and sometimes wrong, and you have to be very skillful to determine when they are right and when they are wrong. It's an interesting one. I'm surprised that he rated so poorly on that run, but some horses are just winners as well. So there's – yeah, but ratings have a huge influence over the early markets. If a horse – I think there's more value if a horse rates really well, like a really fast off a slow tempo and had no pressure put on it and it rates through the roof, go into a race where it's going to face more tempo, the bookies will put it up quite short and there's more chance to bet around that horse into other areas. So it's a bit of a reverse what you're saying. I don't think horses will drift because their rating was poor.
Yeah, it's already built into the opening price.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes, I think the bookies are more likely to put Sedilius up at a better price because of that.
Cool. All right, let's move to maybe the most intriguing race of the week, and it is Moonee Valley Race 6, the Fian Stakes. So a Treasure of the Moment and Pride of Jenny going at it also, Tom Kitten. Let's go back. We were here on course last year for the Fian Stakes. Here's Pride of Jenny. She was out in front by at least 10 lengths. She was a pretty big guy. I think she was $1.80. Yeah. Mr. Brightside was $2.50 or something. Mr. Brightside couldn't get her. I think everyone knew it about the 600 and said they're not going to catch her. That's Antino running on for third. Of course, Antino went on to demolish the two-rack field after that. Here's the market. What are we going to do? Surely, surely Pride of Jenny can't do. I mean, surely she's not the same horse she was a year ago or even 2 years ago.
We don't know, but she was pretty impressive in her latest jump out where she came out and won really well.
Okay.
Small field, really interesting race. Pride of Jenny obviously leads uncontested. I think there's only two possible hopes.
Okay.
Pride of Jenny and Treasure of the Moment. Tom Kitten there at $5. Based on his first up run, I'm extremely surprised that he's $5 and not $15.
Yep.
First time going to the Valley as well. Only won one of the last 10 races, Tom Kitten. So let's talk about the two favourites in this race, starting with Treasure the Moment. So Treasure the Moment, obviously ultra impressive first up, but had that dream run behind. Everything sort of fell into place. Moonee Valley, will Treasure the Moment become a victim of the Valley?
There's only six runners, so there's less chance of that, right?
It is, but it's a different shaped track as well. And I think first time at Moonee Valley is definitely a negative for Treasure the Moment. I think that Pride of Jenny obviously goes to the lead, and we've seen how she can break horses' hearts.
Yeah.
She has only won one from nine first up, but last prep, first up, winning the Peter Young career peak rating.
Ooh. Okay.
So I think that this will be Pride of Jenny's grand final.
Ooh.
I think that she has a higher peak rating than what Treasure the Moment does.
Yeah.
I think Treasure the Moment's a fantastic horse. But at $4.60, I think it's a fantastic price for Pride of Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
And she is my first official Saturday set tip on AFL Grand Final weekend.
Okay. Now, Fizzer, honesty is so important in this show. I want you to honestly appraise what your colleague Kingsley just said.
Look,
Freely, mate. Free speech is a big issue at the moment.
And Jenny has not been Kingsley's best horse. Let's be realistic. He's gapped her whenever she's won. Whenever he's backed her, she's lost. So I'm going to say that he hasn't got a great track record with Jenny. Okay? I do understand his theory this weekend, but he doesn't realise there's a superstar that's going to sit right behind it and just peel off its back and give it Winburn.
She breaks hearts, Fitzy.
I get that, but he's not going to be like – he's not going to be – Willow's not in this race letting everything unfold by 20 lengths behind.
Sure.
I'm sure that they know what's going to happen, Treasure of the Moment. They know that Pride of Jenny's going to go and they'll just sit close, Treasure of the Moment, and then they'll just go, thanks, Pride of Jenny, see you later. That's my opinion, but good luck to Kings. I do think there's two hopes, and I do agree Tom Kitten is the biggest unders I've ever seen.
Do you think 460s? Okay, just price the top two for me. Treasure of the Moment, Pride of Jenny.
If you're, so are we if looking at just a match race? Yeah.
Two-horse race, please price them for me to 100%.
Well, I'm not very good with the
We'll just price the first one, like I'll price the second one for you.
I'd say you got a $1.20 shot in the race. Ooh.
So you think Treasure of the Moment's $1.20 and $6 for Pride of Jenny. Yeah, fair enough.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
So I feel like 145, yes, we might see 150.
Is it one of the best Quinellas you've ever seen in your life?
I do think it is, yeah. As Parra would call it, a Cronulla.
It's going to pay money.
It's going to pay money. Real money.
Well, what price is Pride of Jenny to running the top two then?
I think
to be evens.
I do agree you've identified the horse that's going to run second.
Maybe that's a better bet, you know, evens to running the top two.
Can you get that?
Good luck getting evens.
Well, it's $4.60 against $5. And there's three other hopes.
There's no way it'll be evens.
Can you ring our good friend at Ladbrokes and find out, please?
If I had my phone,
I might take a same race multi here.
Get my phone. I'll have a look. So I've gone to the phone, $1.55 to run the place, first or second.
Yeah. $1.55?
Yeah, mate, it was always going to be.
Well, what's Tom Kitten then?
$1.90.
And what's attrition?
$5.50.
I suppose Treasure of the Moment could miss, but not much hope. Yeah. That's not value.
Yeah, that's the end of that.
$2 is nice value.
Let's move to Sydney. What a great day up at Rose Hill on Saturday. And we're going to start with very interesting race, the Heritage Stakes. So we've got Biebman resuming. Let's go and have a look at Biebman winning the Ken Russell Memorial. This is at Gold Coast back in May on a heavy 10 track. Smashes a pretty ordinary bunch behind. After this, Henry Field from Newgate and a few other people involved in him said, we're going to aim in towards the Coolmore Stud Stakes, which is the premier sprint race for three-year-olds on Derby Day. He starts that conquest on Saturday, but he's struck Mahuna, the resuming Golden Slipper winner. She's a market mover up there. I actually texted Henry Field and said, good luck. And he said, yeah, we'll do our best, but we're a bit worried about Mahuna. Should he be worried about Mahuna?
Absolutely. You should. It's a great field. I'm just really, this doesn't often happen, but I'm just really confused by this race. I don't know what to do. Okay. And that doesn't happen very often.
No.
So I probably shouldn't bet if I don't know what to do. But I do want to ask Fitzy about this. So the reason I don't know what to do is all my metrics are pointing towards Biebman.
Okay.
But Biebman is drawn barrier 10. I've got a few quick question marks. Will Biebman get across from 10? Is the first one. Can you answer all these questions for me, please, Fitzy? I'll give them all to you at once. Will Biebman get across from 10? What did you think of Biebman's trial? Because he seemed to be ridden out and the trial didn't seem to be very good for me. And the third one is Biebman's two wins were on rain-affected tracks, now going to a good track. What do you think of Biebman?
Answer your question. I don't think it would get across to anywhere near the lead. I don't know where they'll get to from gate 10. I didn't really like its trial. I didn't have a top pick on my ratings. I was on it when it won like a motor car in the Gold Coast, but I think this is a different sort of a race. These are really good horses, I think. And for me, I actually found the 11 that went down the straight, Acacia, ran down the straight last start and comes back to Sydney for the Snowden camp, but does get back in the ruck, so it steered me out of that. So like Kings, I'm a little bit off this race. Mahuna, I quite liked its trial behind Briasa, and I do think Mahuna's probably the one to beat in this, given the good draw and given the setup. I think Biebman.
She's got the runs on the board, Mahuna, doesn't she?
Yeah, Biebman could drift.
Yeah, I tended to agree. When I looked last night, I thought Mahuna was the horse to beat, and Tempted came out and franked that Golden Slipper form as well, and trialed really well, Mahuna.
Yeah.
But as I said, I'm confused. I did find a horse down the bottom there, and I hope it hasn't been scratched. It's called Zumbo.
Okay, might have just not made it on.
Well, probably hasn't, because it's quite a big field, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 12, Zumbo. Will go forward. The horse is about 60 or 70 to 1. Uh-huh. I think is a decent little each way bet. Yeah, could fall into a hole on pace, coming from Musselbrook. Ran at Randwick last start. But there's a few things to like about Zumbo. But, yeah, let's move on.
All right. Nothing more, Fizz? No?
No, nothing.
All right, let's move on to the race of the day. Without question, the Golden Race of 2025. We've got a couple to have a look at, okay? So obviously this is for the three-year-olds. Let's go back and look at the run to the Rose. And Raging Force was dominant favourite, remember, and did a bit of a private Harry, just didn't have it. There's Bayvacht going to the lead and then tempted the stable mate, I guess you can call it. Just goes, see you later. And this is the most impressive three-year-old win of this racing season for sure. You've got Skyhook running on for third. There's Woten running on as well. I want to look at one more replay before we go and look at the market. Here's Autumn Boy in the Ming Dynasty. So you've got 60s out in front for Waller as well. 60s is in the Golden Rose. Autumn Boy gets into his work really nicely late. I was watching Chris Waller's show last night. Chris Waller said that he thinks this run here was Autumn Boy's best ever run, even though he didn't win, which is hard to argue with because it's a pretty high grade. So we've got a pretty good sense for all the horses that are going to be in the market. There's the market. Tempted looks like a really exciting horse. Could possibly go and run in the Everest after this. Autumn Boy, $4.80. Woten, $5. Woten seems a bit unders to me. I think he can win the race, but I don't know. He needs to improve a lot. I'd need more of $7 or $8. I've been good at pricing Woten in the past. Anyway.
You have been.
What do you think?
I am against Tempted in this race.
Okay.
I think Tempted drawn barrier 8 is going to have to go back. Ethan Brown will have to go back from that barrier. There's quite a bit of pace in this race inside. And there's not that much pace in total in this race, but there's all pace drawn inside. So what Tempted from 8 is going to have to go back in this field. Tempted has never been past 1,200 metres. And if you look at that replay, this is 1,400 obviously. If you look at that replay, and I want to ask you about this, Fitz, too, because you're a video man, right? If you look at the Tempted's last win, say 150 metres past the post, there were about three horses had gone past Tempted. 300 metres past the post, about basically the whole field has gone past Tempted. Does that sway you at all when you look for future races, horses going up in distance if they pulled up quite quickly after the line?
Well, I watched Tempted's run and I don't think Tempted pulled up straight after the line. I think I was quite happy with the way it hit the line and went through the line. I think it depends on the jockey. A lot of the jockeys just want to, like, sometimes they pull them up really quick. Other times the horse is pulling up on its own steam and you're like, oh, it didn't really have much left. But I don't think that was the case with Tempted. So, no,
have you got
I'm
any
not
query
about
Tempted?
The 1,400.
You think Tempted will get 1,400?
I think it'll
for
get
sure.
1,400, yeah.
Because on the eye, the untrained eye, which is me, because I don't really watch horse videos, but anyone watching that go, 1,400, that's right up Tempted Zally, 1,400. Look how he attacked the line.
She attacked the line, sorry.
But often they don't have the acceleration. She may not have that acceleration over 1,400.
Okay.
It's a very different story, especially when you've got to make up that much ground. Let's talk about Woten, because Woten, this is a completely different scenario for Woten, who is suited at 1,400, who last time went from a wide barrier and sat wide and sat behind Tempted. Now goes to barrier 1 and I think will sit in front of Tempted over a more suitable distance. So I could definitely be on Woten in this race with James McDonald on from barrier 1. I think he's got a terrific chance in this race. The other horse that I'm looking at is Bayvacht. Just racing really well. It's always great odds. Barrier 2 puts himself into the race again from that barrier. Barriers 1 and 2 with Woten and Bayvacht. And the other horse I thought had a good chance was the one that you were talking about, Autumn Boy, Chris Waller, I think. Just a really progressive horse and does have that 1,400-metre run under his belt where the other ones don't.
A couple of interesting points. So Wooden Bassett died during the week. You might have seen that pop up, which is Woten's sire. So I think it increases the determination of McDonald and Waller to try and win the race for Coolmore and whatnot. Don't know how much difference that will make. And Tempted, no filly has won this race in 17 years.
Yeah, right.
There's a couple of fun facts. There you go. Is there anything more to add?
Look, I'm a little bit different to Kings. I watched the race. I thought out of that race that Tempted won, I do like Tempted as a horse. I'm not overly excited by the price. It did come out top pick on my form, but I'm not overly enthusiastic and really keen to get on it this weekend. I did think that Skyhook was a very main danger. I love the way it hit the line, and I think with a bit of luck in run, I think it's a very good horse, Skyhook. And I did think that Autumn Boy was the other one. I'm against Baywalk. I have no interest in it, the leader of the race. Woten, I do concede to Kings that it'll get a better run definitely than last start, but it's just it's done for me, Woten. I put it in the no thanks basket. I think there's horses that are more dynamic than Woten. Anyway, Autumn Boy's last run was very good off a leader's bias sort of track that day.
Yeah.
The way it took ground off the leader was pretty good. And, yeah, Tempted is my top pick, but I thought Skyhook was a danger.
Quality bunch of horses?
Yeah, quality race.
You betting in this race?
At this stage, no. No, I'm not going to.
Because
I've got Tempted so well clear, but I'm a little bit concerned about Tempted. And it is the map more than anything else that's concerning me.
Yep.
Sweet. We're doing a Mates Mode Pod, a marathon, 24-hour Mates Mode Pod. We start it tomorrow night, 6 p.m. It'll be good fun. I've already ripped a couple into Ladbrokes. I backed Pride of Jenny. I've backed King Zephyr, your tip, Street Artist. So
who tipped King Zephyr?
Jimmy D.
All right.
So we've had a few bets to get things going, and then we'll have a few more on Saturday morning. Hopefully we get 60,000 in the pot or something, which would be pretty cool. So it's a 24-hour, and it'll be a lot of fun. You can go jump in the Mates Mode section on the Ladderbucks app, or I'll put all the bets up on the Woofdown app and you can follow along that way. They're good fun. We have a good record. Hopefully we continue that. And with that out of the way, King Zone, it's time for your Saturday set.
My official Saturday
Let's
set.
Let's do it.
Well, she's back. Pride of Jenny, we spoke about it. Mooney Valley Race 6. Let's go to Saturday Rose Hill Race 7. Two horses, Rose Hill Race 7. Gerringong Maps should go straight to the front. Should be stronger. Second run at the distance after coming up over 1400 from Melbourne, where Gerringong went really hard in front and tired.
Yep.
In that same race, I like number 10, Modella. Drew wide last time. Drawn wide again, but first up over 1200 I thought was a great run. Going to 1400 I think is a great each-way bet. Modella's around $13 at the moment. So two bets in that race. The only other one I've got is race 10, number 9, a horse called Sunrise, who's having his first run for your man, Mitchy Beer.
Mm-hmm.
Has an extremely high peak rating and won two trials, the last extremely impressively at Hawkesbury. Okay. Around $9 at the moment, Ladbrokes leading the way. And I think it is a good price.
Great. Some nice tasty value there. Fizzer, your Saturday set.
Yeah, I found this weekend very tough, but I've gone to my reliable State of WA. I'm hoping Pike can ride us a few winners. So we'll start in race one, number one, a horse called God's Rapture. This horse was held up slightly last start over the 1200 and hit the line lovely. 1400 this weekend. Looks to suit. I'm keen this weekend. Mm-hmm. Then we go to Belmont race five, number four. Pike's on this again, Eccentric Nature. I've missed the odds this morning. I sat there and watched 2.75 turn into $1.85, and I'm a bit angry about that, but that happens. Look, I don't think $1.85 is any spoils. This horse does get back in the run, so I'm not tipping it anyone to step into that price. I think we'll get better on the weekend. But I do like one in race eight, number six at Belmont, Brave Spirit. This horse comes into this first up off a great trial in really, really hot time behind a few really, really good horses. So I'm pretty keen on its hopes this weekend. And then we'll go to Sandown for one on Saturday. Race three, number nine, Street Artist. This horse was impressive at its win last start, and I think it can step up again and hit the Saturday grade and win for us.
Thank you, sir. Now, Kingzone, you pride yourself on breaking the rules and betting right up on the NRL Premiership each year and the Melbourne Cup.
I do.
And I've been in your company many times over the years when you've desperately needed a particular team to win the NRL Grand Final, and you've had pretty good luck at it. Where does the Brisbane Broncos winning the 2025 NRL Premiership sit on the list of
teams
you've desperately needed to win?
Pretty high up there. And I'm very confident about Brisbane. I just think it's their time as well. They play Penrith, obviously, on
such a big game
on Sunday. And
whoever wins that game, do they win the Grand Final?
I think they do. Yeah, yeah. I think they do. So Friday night, I got Melbourne and Cronulla, and I saw 8.5 out there, Cronulla. I thought that was a really big price. Melbourne aren't exactly flying. Jerome Hughes came back, and we saw last time what he did when he came back. He was off before he'd even started. So I thought 8.5 was a good start there. And what do you think of Cronulla?
Yeah, I thought, when you told me 8.5 start was out there, I thought that was a crazy start. I would have thought it was closer to the 3.5 mark.
Yeah.
Not that I'm an NRL genius, but geez, that seems like a lot of start. I don't think Melbourne are going that good, to be honest with you, but they have had the week off. But and like you, he's got a broken wrist. Yeah. He's like, it only happened, what, 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, it's hard to recover from that.
Yeah. Everyone's getting so excited about the Panthers after that. Yes, they were impressive against the Bulldogs, but they played the Bulldogs and the Warriors, who were the two out-of-form sides going into the final series. Prior to that, they played the Dragons. Prior to that, they lost three games in a row. So they haven't really beaten anyone going into this match. And I think at home, Brisbane, they get Reynolds back, they get Ezra Mann back. Unfortunately, Pat Carrigan's not playing. Mm. And unfortunately, Billy Wilder's injured himself as well, which is a negative. But that home ground advantage, I think, is going to be huge.
Spend a lot of money. I'm pretty confident.
I think so, yeah. Penrith are about 160, 170. And
the firm since they went. I think they went up 180. And
yeah, I'm betting again on Sunday. I'm so confident.
Great, I hope they win.
I'm so confident. And also that the 2 years ago grand final, the revenge factor from 2 years ago, I just think Penrith can't keep winning. They just can't. If they win five comps in a row, seriously, in this salary cap
and
age,
we're coming last.
And look at the players they've lost. The team's not near, like, on paper. Well,
Canterbury's, all the good players at Canterbury all played for Penrith. All of them.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a coach Ivan Cleary is.
I remember I was bagging him early days, but anyway.
That would have helped.
AFL Grand Final.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Should be good.
We were there. Fitz and I were there last year. We left at three-quarter time, the mighty Swannies. Yeah, I'm tipping Geelong to beat Brisbane at home at the mighty MCG. They're not their home, but you know what I
mean. Just about their home, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't bet yet, but I'm going to. What do you say?
Nah, no idea. I'll watch it. I'll look forward to it. So
Fitz?
Yeah, keen on the Cats. They were really dominant against the Hawks last week, and the Hawks were my last team going for me financially this year. But the Cats all over the park were quite unbelievable. Yeah, Brisbane were much better than a lot of people predicted. They were they were outsiders last week.
Of course, they're reigning premiers,
and did it very easily in the end against Collingwood. So look, it looks like a cracking game.
Patrick Dangerfield's the man, right?
He was freakish last week.
If he plays all that again, I don't think they'll be able to.
I think he's 35 years old. I think
amazing. He's been around forever. I was thinking that the other day. I go, that bloke's been around forever.
He's a freak.
So anyway, that's the end of the
Saturday
set. No,
it's not the end of the Saturday set, because we didn't talk about your rah. You're a rah rah man. Well, it's Bledisloe Cup.
Sorry. Okay.
Bledisloe Cup. What do you think?
Well, what do I think? Well, so South Africa beat the All Blacks in the biggest defeat the All Blacks have ever experienced anywhere, like on home soil, anywhere around the world, right?
Mm.
And I was thinking to myself, wow, that's pretty. So they got beaten, like, I don't know, 44-10 or something like that, right? And I thought to myself, I know what will happen now. The Wallabies will go to New Zealand and get beat 44-10 by the All Blacks. So that's what I think. I think that, beware the wounded All Black. They'll just smash the Wallabies. Wallabies are playing quite well, and the Rugby Championships is quite competitive.
They're pretty good, the Wallabies. I was going to take the start.
They beat South Africa over in South Africa, so that was a huge comeback.
Mm. When's the match on?
3 p.m. Saturday afternoon.
Sensational. We'll put it on here, eh, Fitz?
We'll have the AFL on. We'll have that and the racing.
And the Golden Rose.
What a time to be alive.
So good. Was life. Yeah. Up the Dan. Enjoy the greatest weekend of the sporting calendar. Thank you very much.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.